So gifts of healing, first of the three power gifts. It's the ability to release and focus God's healing power to a person in need of a healing touch. Please note it says gifts, plural, healings, plural. And so there's many aspects to this gift. You can heal many areas of people's lives. You can be very specialized. So some people have a tremendous gift of healing, say, for cancer. There was a monk that for years had a healing ministry, and then he ended up getting married, so he couldn't be a monk anymore. So, and he has a healing center in Florida. Francis McNutt is his name, and if you go to his healing center, you're not allowed in unless you have cancer. And if you have cancer, he has healing teams that will soak you for 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the late afternoon or early evening. And they will do that for a number of weeks. There's some other things they do. But they literally are seeing tremendous results from healing from cancer because that's his specialty. That's his focus. So just like doctors have specialties in the gifts of healings, there are people who have specialties that they should stay focused on. So you can connect with the healing anointing. Remember the lady who was going through the crowd? She had an issue of blood, which meant she shouldn't have been in the crowd because she was unclean. And she touched Jesus' garment, and she felt the power. And Jesus knew the power had been pulled out of him, you know, made a demand upon it. Well, there is a healing virtue or a healing anointing that exists. And these people who have this gift of healing can sense it, feel it, and flow in it. It often manifests as a hot hand or a flow of electricity down a person's arm and out of a person's hand. So if you walk around in the middle of a service, all of a sudden your hand gets really hot. I mean, if you touched it, it doesn't feel hot, but inside it feels really hot. You are functioning in a gifts of healings, and you need to find who needs that healing. Now, if you can also get a word of knowledge as to what the healing is, like cancer, arthritis, whatever, and you put two gifts together and you can call that out. But otherwise, you gotta go around and find out who needs healing. Because you gotta, don't put your hand in the snowbank. It's not gonna change it. It's still gonna be warm. When you're praying for people with this gift and you feel the power of God flowing through you like electricity coming out of your arm and your hand, here's what happens. If that person is really open to what God is doing, you will feel that it comes out of your hand and you can feel it leaving you and going into this person, like electricity. But if they're not open or there's something blocking it, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, whatever, or lack of faith or whatever, you will feel it go out and bounce back at you. And then you have to stop and instead of praying, you say, is there any unforgiveness in your life? Or let God give you the reason why it's not going in. So this flow that you feel, this heat that you sense, is literally a way of reading what's happening as you're working with this person, praying with this person. And you got to learn to read the thing that's happening to you. Okay? Don't count on it, because sometimes you're just going to have to pray by faith and you'll have no feeling whatsoever. But, okay. Working of miracles. It's the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to interpret... Sorry to interrupt, I'll say it the way it's written, to interrupt the regular flow of nature as God determines and wills it. It's the supernatural ability to interrupt the regular flow of nature as God determines and wills it. In the days of Moses, the parting of the Red Sea would be a working of miracles. Red Seas don't normally part and cause waves to stand there while you walk across on dry ground. Joshua's day, the parting of the Jordan River. In Jesus' day, turning water into wine and opening a liquor store. No, he didn't do that. In Hezekiah's day, the sundial turning back 20 minutes. Or in Joshua's day, the sun stopping in the sky until the battle was won. So for 24 hours, the sun stood right in the center. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Do you know that when they were sending the first spaceship up to the moon, that they had problems? They could never get the trajectory to work right and make the thing land on the moon at the right spot. And eventually, in NASA, Christian said, well, you know, the problem is that we're not putting into the calculations and into the equations the right information. Because in the Bible, it says that the sun stopped for 24 hours and the sundial went back in Hezekiah's time 20 minutes. And when they factored in the hour and the 20 minutes, they got a direct hit on the moon. Isn't God good? One little lone Christian talking Bible showed NASA what was wrong with that first flight that we were trying to schedule. I like this stuff. I like it when God says, yeah, gotcha. Hey, special faith. Supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to believe for something far greater than the norm. Believing for something far greater than the norm, or far greater than what is seen in the normal in everyday life. So, you could pray for somebody who has a headache. That's normal, that's okay, and maybe the headache will get better. My wife and I were at a banquet that we were running for our church to get people saved, and we had a healing line afterwards, and this lady comes up, and she has one leg that's 6 inches shorter than the other. On the bottom of the shoe, she has a 6-inch base built so that she can walk straight, because otherwise her hips would be killing her. And I see this, and I think, I'm a man of faith and power. I think I've got to go to the bathroom. Because I know she's going to ask that that leg grow out 6 inches. So my wife says, so what are we praying for? And the lady says, I'd like this leg as long as that one, or this one shorter, than, so they're the same length. And I'm really needing to go to the bathroom. I'm hoping that, you know, the floor disappears and I can fall into the basement. My wife is like, oh, good. Wow. So, because she has special faith. She can believe for all sorts of things like this. It's just amazing stuff. So we prayed. It took us 30 minutes, 35 minutes. And when it was all over, always pray for these things with your eyes open, because you miss the miracles otherwise, you know, working with faith. When it was all over, God had added 6 inches to that lady's leg. Bone, muscle, skin, hair, blood vessels. And I watched it happen. I didn't have the faith for that. I really didn't. It was my wife who put her faith into action. That's special faith. Now, I have special faith on one occasion only. Money. I can believe for money. Lots of it. Because I do. I don't have a mailing list. I don't make appeals. I just, God, you called me to do this. You paved my way. I can believe for thousands of dollars at a time. Tens of thousands of dollars if I need them. So I have special faith, but just for money. Not for much else. All right. So revelation gifts. This is knowing things. Supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit, word of wisdom, to know something about a situation or a person. To know something about a situation or a person. That you could not know except that God showed it to you. God revealed it to you. That's why it's revelation gifts. Okay? Next one, word of knowledge. To know something about a person or a situation. Word of knowledge, to know something about a person or a situation that you could not know except God showed it to you or revealed it to you. Gee, that sounds like the definition up above. It is. It's exactly the same definition. A word of, go back to the top one, the word of knowledge. Sorry, word of wisdom, the top one we did. A word of wisdom always deals with the future. Always. The word of Knowledge, the second one, always deals with the past or the present. It's exactly the same gift, it's just broken into two systems. So if you know something about the person's future, that's a word of wisdom. If you know something God revealed to you, because you don't even know this person's name, and it's something about their past or their present, then it's a word of knowledge. Make sense? Okay. So it's 40 below zero in Regina, and I'm working the streets, 4th and Albert, because there's a Tim Hortons on that corner. Actually, I do it there because that was used to be a lumber yard there, and I got my first person saved in my new church in 1980 on that corner. So it's kind of a special corner. And so, anyways, I'm there. But the coffee shop helps at 40 below. And there's three guys walking across the street. They don't know each other. They're walking in different spaces. And I just pick one. I go up to him, and I start talking. And I say, can I ask you a question? And he thought I was going to ask him for directions. And so he said, yes. And I said, so why did you get your nipples pierced yesterday? Now, he's dressed for 40 below zero. So he's got a coat on, sweater on, you know. And he said, how did you know that? And I said, God showed me. And they always say the same thing. Oh, so God talks to you, does he? And I said, yes, he does. Would you like to know what else he said? Of course he does. And I said, so you're thinking of getting a tattoo. And I described it to him accurately, I found out later. And I said, and you're wanting to get it right here. And I was right. We went in and had coffee. He's now on my junior leadership team. He got saved. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He can hear God as well as I do. And I don't know if he ever got the tattoo. That's more information than I care to know. That's a word of knowledge. Yesterday, you know, you got your nipples pierced. Word of wisdom. You're thinking of getting a tattoo in the future. That's how you do this. This is how you evangelize. Sure.
When you get a word that is like direction, you know, your help, if you need wisdom in some area in the church, and God gives you a divine pattern of what to do, strategy, what is that?
It's in the church, for the church?
Or wherever, whatever. You get a word, you get a strategy, you get help in a business, but you get a knowledge of something. What is that?
Okay, that's prophecy. And we'll get to that. Yeah. We mix things up. We're calling things in the church things that they're not. So when I get there, I'll tell you. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is a supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to see into the spirit realm. To see into the spirit realm. I want you to circle the word see, put a little arrow over into the margin, and I want you to write some other words. Because the word see doesn't describe this right. There's no word to describe this gift. So you see into the spirit realm, or you know something spiritual in the kingdom, or you sense, or you feel, or you perceive. You don't really see, or sometimes you do. You just get this understanding that something's happening in the spirit realm, and you know what it is. Is that okay? All right. What is it you see, sense, perceive, know, feel, smell? Let me give you a list of things that this gift will allow you to know about. You will see demons and angels. You don't have to go looking for them. You don't have to call on them. You don't have to ask for them. You just begin to see them. You will see darkness and light. You will see the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, you'll know when somebody's lying to you, trying to use you or abuse you. You will see anointings. You will see callings on people's lives, and you will see the gifts of God that they have been given to use to minister. So out at the old colony, at a hall we were at the last time I was here on a Saturday, I prophesied over a young man, told him he was going to be an apostle, and he was going to travel to the nations, and told him the gifts he was going to use, and everybody went, wow, that was a powerful prophetic word. Guess what? It wasn't. It was a word of wisdom about his future. How did I get it? Well, you got it prophetically. No, I discerned the spirit realm. I saw it, perceived it, sensed it, knew it, understood it, smelled it, whatever. But everybody there, I'm sure, and some of you were there, said, oh, wow, prophecy. No. Word of wisdom received through the discerning of spirits. All right, inspiration gifts, tongues, public tongues, supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak in a language, earthly or heavenly, that you have never learned. To speak in a language, earthly or heavenly, that you have never learned. If there's more room, you can continue to write. You're speaking on God's behalf to God's people. You're speaking on God's behalf, speaking from the heart of God that He's revealed to you, and you're speaking it to God's people.
Believers.
The rest of them are God's enemies, according to Romans 5. Okay. The gift of public tongues is misunderstood. There are three sets of tongues in Scripture, and I've listed them there for you. The first one is proclamation or preaching tongues, and that's given to some people who preach. Especially if they're evangelizing overseas. We have several people who cannot speak Tajik, but when they walk into Tajikistan, all of a sudden they can preach in Tajik. I would love the gift. Thank you. I'm struggling to learn Russian. I would love to be able to go into all these 15 nations that I work in that speak Russian and just have the ability to speak Russian. You want to learn some Russian words? You ready for the first one? Taxi. Second one, toilet. Everybody say yellow.
Yellow.
Blue.
Blue.
Bus.
Bus.
Not bus, bus.
Bus.
All right, now say it fast. Yellow, blue, bus.
Yellow, bus.
Thank you. Because you just told me you love me. Yellow, blue, bus is I love you. I know. So you get a language, you can preach in it. So many, many people overseas have had that experience. In Peter's time, in Acts 2, he spoke Aramaic, and everyone in the location he was preaching in heard it in their own language. Well, that's public tongues, just functioning a different way. So that's not the tongues, that's the gift we're talking about. Secondly, public tongues with interpretation, that's the charismatic gift we're talking about. So if you sense you've got a message from God in the middle of a worship service and you got it in tongues, it's got to be interpreted. Somebody has to know what you just said. They have to have a sense of it. All right, come back to that. So that's not your private prayer language, that's public tongues. The third kind of tongues listed in Scripture is your private prayer language. And everyone has one of those languages if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, or more than one. And that's communicating from your spirit to God who is spirit. And you can do calculus while you're praying in tongues if you want to. I've done it. So when we first discovered the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'd actually record on cassette tapes. Do you remember cassette tapes? We would record on cassette tapes the language, the tongues, and we'd send it to a friend of mine who worked at the university in the linguistics department. And we would say, is this a language? Because a language always has syntax and flow and, you know, structure. And sometimes they would know the language, and sometimes they would just know it was a language. Isn't that neat? And they'd send it back and tell us. See, God, you don't have to just accept it because it's there. You can prove things. So that gave us great confidence because we'd never heard of this tongue stuff before. I was an Anglican. Okay, so private prayer language. Okay, so three kinds: proclamation tongues, public tongues, private tongues. Question. Yeah, the evangelizing one is when you're in another nation and you don't speak their language, God will often give you something in their language, which will prove to them that you're here in God because they know you don't know the language. Okay? Okay, third gift in this category, the interpretation of tongues. That's the ability given by the Holy Spirit to understand what is being spoken or sung in tongues, public tongues, and then to interpret the tongue's message. So to understand what is being spoken or sung in tongues, public tongues, and then to interpret the tongue's message so that everybody can understand it, right? A couple of things to note. It's an interpretation, it's not a translation. So you can have someone stand up and speak in tongues, public tongues in a service, and take a minute and a half and go all over the map emotionally or whatever. And then you can have somebody else with the interpretation of tongues stand up and tell you what was said in 10 seconds. Right. Because you're not translating it, you're interpreting it. My wife takes anywhere up to a month to paint a huge picture because she's a painter, she's an artist, or draw it, or watercolors, or, you know, acrylics, or whatever she's using. And I can look at it and say, yep, mountains and trees. I interpreted the picture. And I'd make her very mad when I do that. Because I know what she's looking for. She needs encouragement, so I'm supposed to say, oh, it's beautiful. That must have taken a long time. I'm amazed how you can just do that. It's mountains and trees. I've seen both. The fact that we're still married and love each other, miracle of God. We believe in it. Okay. All public tongues in a service must be interpreted. So if you stand up and you have a tongues message and no one else interprets, everybody looks to you. Because you did it, you have to interpret it. And if you can't, then you shouldn't have given it and you're out of order. This is the gift I never want. I've never sought after. I've always told God I'm not wanting it. Don't use me. And, you know, because I know it will happen. Nobody will interpret. And then everybody's going to look at me. Okay, prophecy. And then I'm going to teach you something very important. The supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak forth the heart of God to his people in the language they understand. Supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak forth the heart of God to his people or just to other people, and it has three purposes: to build up, to stir up, and to cheer up. So you are hearing the voice of God. You speak the voice of God to a group of people, Christians, non-Christians, church, business world, a business, a government, city council, group of people, And you're speaking the heart of God to them in a language they understand, of course. So, Low German, English. All right. That's prophecy. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Good. And it's got three purposes: build up, cheer up, stir up. That's modern English version. 1 Corinthians 14:3. It's built, it's to edify, encourage, and build up, stir up, cheer up. So, if you've been at any of our services that I run whenever, wherever I go, you have seen me speak over people's lives, and you've said, wow, that was a great prophecy. No, it wasn't. You haven't heard prophecy yet. It was a word of wisdom about their future. Maybe it was a word of knowledge, including something about their friends or something about their past that needed healing. It was over an individual. So it's a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. You haven't heard of prophecy. Prophecy is over a group of people. God's people, worldly people, people, plural. Prophecy is never a personal thing. But when you do a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, sounds like prophecy, walks like prophecy, talks like prophecy, quacks like prophecy, so it must be a duck. Right? But we've never bothered to explain the differences. So if I was in your church on a Sunday morning for the first time, I would stand up and I'd ask permission first, and I would prophesy over the church. Well, that's a prophecy, because it's to a corporate group of people called the body of Christ, a local church. I prophesy over businesses. I get the board members all together in the boardroom and prophesy over the business. I prophesy over cities. I just finished prophesying over Kazakhstan, and they published it. Oh, better come to pass, huh? Or my ministry in Kazakhstan is going to go. Prophecy is always over a group. So what we're really doing is a revelation gift, combination of word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And we often get it through the discerning of spirits gift. You can call it prophecy. I call it prophecy just because it's confusing. But you're in a seminar trying to learn the truth and do things the right way. So call them what they are. So you're learning to flow in the revelation gifts, not just in prophecy. Although you'll hear me use the word prophecy almost completely all afternoon. Okay? Good. Questions? Oh, thank you. If you're giving a person direction, then you're working in a word of wisdom, something about their future, and you're telling them the steps they're going to encounter. You're going to have to make three major decisions in the next 3 months. And they're like doors you're going to have to walk through, and if you walk through the wrong door at the wrong time, yeah, that's word of wisdom. You're talking about their future. Okay, but if you go into a business and you say, there's a recession coming in a year's time, so you need to diversify because everything you produce in this business is a luxury item, and so people are going to stop buying it because they don't need that thing on their car when they're hardly feeding their family. So God is saying diversify, diversify, diversify. I said that to a company. The company's called Cloud Rider. They make grill things for your grills and mud guards and all sorts of car accessories all over Canada, all, 7 or 8 nations now. And so when the recession hit 3 years ago, their business went this way. They hired 30 new staff members in the middle of a recession because they diversified and their main line went. It's come right back again since the recession ended, but that prophetic word saved their bacon. But it was prophecy, it was still their business. So there's a huge difference. So let's work with the biblical understandings of it. So, Solomon prophesies over David. Well, I thought you said you haven't got a personal prophecy. It wasn't. It was a prophecy about Israel. He just happened to stand up the king. Because the king was representing the nation. Did it include a couple of things about David? Yes, because he's the king. So if we prophesy over a church, will it include a couple of things about the pastor? Yes. Because he's the pastor at this current point. But it will be for the people. If the pastor left, the prophecy keeps going. Okay. So now I want you to go back, circle the ones you think you have flowed in, or that you know you currently flow in. If you don't think you've ever flowed in any of them, I want you to circle two that you think would be a lot of fun to flow in. You know, like if you had your choice and you had 9 gifts in front of you, which 2 would you take? So if you know you have or think you have flowed in some of them, circle them. If you've never, and you know you've never, flowed in any of them, then I want you to think, wow, which ones would be fun? Which ones would be really fun? And circle those. You have to do this because by the time we're done today, you're going to need to know which one of these gifts are yours. Circle them all.
Then it's not necessarily finding your specialty.
No, we'll come back to that. Circle them all. Because that's what I do. I circle all of them. I've done all of them at least once. Young people, if you've never floated in one and you're trying to think which one would be fun, you're not playing a game. God puts desires in your heart. So there's going to be a desire to do one because you think it's going to be fun, but that desire is God's desire. So cool. If you're called to be an apostle, you have all 9 of them. You're called to be a prophet, you have all 9 of them inside you. You may not use any of them, but you have them all. An evangelist will have 7 of them. A teacher usually has 5 of them. Everybody got something circled? Okay. Now go back and star the 2, maximum 3 that you use the most, you enjoy the most, or that God uses you most powerfully in. So at that point, I would not be starring special fakes because it's just for money and it's usually behind the scenes and I'd rather not pray for people with legs too short. So star at least 2. You can star 3. Max 3. These will change as you mature, as your ministry changes. I mean, in my life I use word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and serious discerning spirits at all times, but I'm now beginning to see more requests to prophesy over a business or a city or a country. And you know, when they asked me to prophesy over Kazakhstan, I went, ooh, I've never done a country before. Sure, let's. And we got it. I mean, I hope we're right, but we got it. So I wouldn't start a prophecy because normally I just do words of wisdom, words of knowledge. But if the gift is changing, the gift mix is changing, next time I'll start a prophecy. Everybody got them? Take your time. It's very important you either have circled some that you like, that you think you would like to flow in, or that you know you have flowed in.